Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, I am talking to Will Verona. He is the founder and director of Purified. Purified is a London-based shoe brand creating 100% plastic-free footwear solely from materials that are natural. 25 billion shoes are produced each year. Almost all of those are unrecyclable, destined to spend generations in landfill. The shoe industry's reliance on synthetic materials and toxic glues don't only lead to waste and environmental degradation, it compromises shoe quality and comfort. And here to correct that is Will Verona from Purified. Here he is on the phone.
Yes, hello. So I'm Will Verona and I'm the founder of Purified. Before I was studying shoemaking in Italy, so I learned kind of the pattern making side, the technical elements behind the shoes. And then after that, I spent 5 years as a designer in the industry, mostly on sort of leather boots and leather shoes. Purified, we create entirely zero plastic shoes that are designed to return to earth at end of life. It was described by, when I've explained it to people in the past, it was almost described as the impossible shoe, this idea of completely rejecting plastics, synthetics, petroleum-based glues. But in reality, these are all things that have been created in the past 100 years or so. And, you know, before then, people weren't walking around barefoot. So I always knew that there was a way. And it's been a 4-year journey of basically getting back to that sort of previous way. Away from the product, I'd say the brand looks to champion kind of simpler ways of living. And really rebuilding that connection with nature and humanity that I think we're seeing more and more of in everyday life.
Interesting. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about you though. So you're living in Italy at the time, or did you go there from the UK to study especially?
Yeah, I went there to study for 6 months. So it's a school called Arsitoria in Milan. It was Monday to Saturday, like 9 till 7 p.m. every day, just really working on shoe lasts and technical elements and being given designs to create physical patterns from.
So how does that work? Is it a specialist school that teaches shoe design, or is it kind of a broad design school and you specialized in shoes?
No, it's a very specialist school.
Interesting.
I mean, they do other courses as well, but I think around bags and probably they do some elements around the actual designing the shoes, but it's more the technical side that I went for. It was just learning, kind of almost learning with your hands more than anything else, and just getting that kind of feeling and understanding, you know, what makes a great shoe and how to correct technical issues. It was fascinating, and I just came back with a level of knowledge that I was quite shocked by, to be honest.
Yeah, and so 6 months out there, do you learn Italian there, and do you go to the factories? Do they teach you at factories? How does it work?
Yeah, we did go to factories, and we did a few visits, but really it's just in kind of a studio where you're just at a table with a cutting board and a shoe last, which is like essentially a mold of a foot that you build the shoe design around. In terms of learning Italian, I wish I could say I came back fluent, but languages maybe has never been my strong point. So
I see. Got fluent in April Spritz.
Very much so.
Well, so you graduate, you come back to the UK, I presume, and then you start work for another company, you say, for 5 years. What are you learning, or what are you gleaning at your time there or wherever you are that you're now taking into Purify 5 years later?
So for me, it was just a fascination, I guess, around in Italy, I was learning lots of different, we call it constructions, like lots of different ways of building the shoe. And I really became fascinated with kind of all these historical constructions that were probably less associated or less used in the industry currently. I think everything in the industry at the moment has been designed to be easy to make, quick to make, because effectively it helps the bottom line. But I was always really interested in bringing back that idea of crafted and sort of those historical things. So I've definitely always tried to take that forward. I think Purified has really pushed that to the next level.
And so with Purified on your website, I just saw the trainers, right? So we're starting with a trainer. Were you tempted to go into dress shoes at any point first, or is this always going to be the first launch for you?
It's an interesting one. I did feel the there was perhaps more of a desire out there at the moment for sustainable trainers. So I was keen to launch with the trainer, but I'm by no means shut off by attempting other categories. And I think there's a huge demand out there as well for entirely zero plastic formal shoes. Maybe I would perhaps lead to a more casual range, like suede, sorry, plant-based suede, like a Clark's Wallaby, for instance, something like that. Those more casual shoes that you can wear. We're really
Awesome.
keen to create everyday shoes for multiple purposes. The great thing about the Purified trainers, you could wear them on a day at the beach, but you could also wear them to the office. And that's always something I'm really keen to stick by.
Interesting. And so you said you went to Sri Lanka and you saw a load of landfill out there and you thought, I've got to clean all this up and put it through a big Bertha machine and get some trainers out on the other side. How long did the process take from like conception to execution?
That's not quite. I was working a lot in Sri Lanka, visiting one specific factory, and every day I would drive past this landfill site that the locals actually call Trash Mountain.
Oh, God.
And it just shocked me. I mean, the first time I drove past it was so big. It's quite a relatively flat area, and you've just got this massive, essentially, hill. I was like, how does that happen? What's that doing there? And then someone explained it to me, like, that's landfill. And I just couldn't fathom. It was 50 meters high. And it got so big there was eventually a landslide into a village, and a lot of people got hurt, houses got damaged, and I sort of took away and you realize as designing shoes in the current form, there's no consideration for that end of life. Like, this is where they go. And I just didn't really want to be a part of that any longer. So it was kind of coming away from that and thinking, well, how do we almost redesign a system to ensure that this kind of thing doesn't happen? Because it's not just, obviously, the landslide is quite a direct impact, but also you've got things like leaching microplastics that invade all kinds of ecosystems, damaging the soil, damaging sea life. But also, we've found, and there's been more and more studies, that it impacts human health. The idea was to completely reject these plastics, and it was a 4-year journey in the end, to create a shoe that had no plastic.
And what are the obstacles aside from, I guess, the obvious of just going to normal producers and factory lines and just showing them designs and them coming back? You have to, I assume, go to those guys, as in your manufacturers, and say, look, this is the idea I have. How is it achievable? And what is their reply to that?
So it was an interesting one. I think when I first what decided this is what I want to do, I went to the industry, I went to sourcing fairs, and I was very specific with what I was looking for because it had to have no plastic. But when I went to the industry, it was like, oh, you want to do a sustainable shoe? Okay, cool. We've got recycled EVAs, which is obviously plastic. We've got fruit leathers that are backed with plastic, but the communication style is like, it's a leather made from peaches. I don't know. It became very apparent early on that to do this right, we were going to have to reject everything the industry offered and go down the route more of working with scientists and next gen material companies who they just had such a better understanding of what we were looking for. I guess that was a massive challenge immediately, was just finding which ones were at a stage where they were ready to. I think when I've seen work with materials company in the past, I think they're keen to work initially with bag brands or accessories brands like wallets, small leather goods, but shoes, because they have just such a greater requirement for durability. They're very hesitant. So we were limited there as well. Like, there are only a few that could offer at this stage.
And do you have to pay for each prototype that comes out? As in, I imagine there's a lot of sampling that has to go on. Then you have to test your ability. Not everything works first time around. So how does it work with the financing area of this?
So in terms of the, yeah, we would have to pay for that prototyping stage for the materials we bought in. So the brand itself was actually, I had a lot of support through my family. I come from a generation of shoemakers. I think my great-grandfather even was a shoemaker. But my dad has 40 years of experience. And I think I wrote up this concept of zero plastic shoes during COVID, just because I had so much time with all the factories being closed. And when I took it to him, he just thought, yeah, this feels really fresh and new. And it's just a rejection of everything that he's done in 40 years. So he was really keen to learn more and you know, support. So we had some help through his brand as almost like a parent company, mostly in terms of managing the back end, you know, building the website, managing stock. And obviously he has 40 years of contacts of people, of technical leads, manufacturers globally, which was helpful when we were setting up in Portugal. But you know, the decisions around sourcing, production, creative, that was all myself.
Can we say who the brand is?
Yes, I suppose we can. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a London-based boot brand called Hudson.
Okay. And are they making in London or are they in Northampton like most shoe companies?
Oh, no. The shoes are, again, they're manufactured in Portugal.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Okay. So
yeah, it's a London-based sort of creative.
I get you.
But yeah.
That must have been a real moment for your dad, seeing you go off to Italy and then come back with these ideas and then start on this journey and then finally bring it. I mean, like, also you're actually showing somebody something like a dad can understand. As in, like, I guess most people that put like a PowerPoint presentation together or some kind of spreadsheet and go, I've worked on this formula for years, and they show it to the old man and they're like, yeah, whatever. It's like, but here is something palpable. It's in your hand. You can look at it. You can feel it. It's tactile. So that must have been, I imagine that was quite special for you and your dad.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've kind of been immersed to the shoemaking world since I was probably 4 years old. It's something I've almost always knew I was going into. I think the Arsatoria, studying in Italy was a huge aspect of that. I just think before I would have all these ideas and it was like, okay, well, but realistically you can't do this because X, Y, and Z. But I came back knowing exactly what you could do and what you can't do. And I could pick up a shoe and see something wrong with it and I would know how to fix it. And that was amazing going into design, because I think that's something that perhaps has been a little bit lost. When I've spoken to some other designers, you know, they can make great drawings, they can come up with fantastic ideas, but you know, when you're in the factory, the knowledge you learn there is just invaluable. And to be able to say, oh, you know, there's a little bit there wrong in terms of how the leather is cut, if you do this, it'll be much better. Just saves time as well. But yeah, right. I think when I presented sort of this concept, I had just put a lot of work into it, you know, in terms of every aspect, from the system of how it would work with a plant-based shoe, you know, from building it to wear to end of life, to like the marketing side, to who would want the shoes. You know, I put a lot of work in there. And I think, yeah, it definitely was like a good moment presenting to obviously my dad, like, yeah, you know, this is what I think we should do.
Yeah, it's nuts. So like, you have the design and the education behind you to make the shoe, but then there's also, right now we have the product, how do we get it out? And that's where I think a lot of people in your position, like founders of companies, startups, they fall by the wayside because they almost get so immersed with the product, fall in love with the product. They've made something great, but it's like, now how do we get some eyeballs on this? How do we even begin to sell this? So how did you approach that side? As in, did you get some outside help, or did you have, I mean, I know you're you got your dad to leverage maybe his Rolodex, but I imagine that's in the making side. How do we actually get the shoe out so people can see it?
Yeah, that's something we've just done organically, and we've really just learned through doing ourselves. I mean, we've only just launched, and I was very protective of the concept before we got to this stage. So we've only really been talking about it for the past few weeks. Externally, it's something that I think we have to have a lot of control over. We have to be very careful, but yeah, it's exciting at the moment to be speaking to new people and, you know, starting to work with other people to get ideas out there and to kind of share the story.
Yeah, I bet. So I was just thinking about when you were talking about landfill, and that, I guess that's kind of the heartbeat of the brand, right? So we need to address this, not just in the shoe industry, but in our everyday life. And I was thinking, because I was watching Back to the Future 2 the other night, and what was it, the first one? But it's when Emmett Brown comes back in the DeLorean, and he goes, "We got to go back to the future, and we need fuel." So he goes through Marty's garbage and just puts like a load of crap, like from his dustbin, into the flux capacitor. I thought, yeah, I guess that's what we all dreamed of, like back in the day, was that by the year, and that's set, like the future for that is set in 2015. So we're talking like 10 years ago nearly. And we're still nowhere near that, in my opinion. We're still nowhere near what the promises of the film industry showed us. Like, we can just get our everyday garden waste and that will power our motors, and then we'll just fly off to work.
I mean, I'm still waiting for that floating skateboard.
the hoverboard.
Yeah, we're getting closer. But no, I think in the industry, there's a lot of talk around this idea of recycling and you know, having these shoes that we can essentially create new shoes from entirely. And it's not done. You know, I think 99% of all shoes will end up in landfill, and the 1% gets recycled. Or it's recyclable, as some brands claim. You know, to do that, you need every customer to send the shoes back. How many realistically are going to do that? And then how frequently can you recycle these shoes over and over and over again? I think it's unlikely that can be done infinitely. So you're not really talking about a circular model. You're talking about linear extension. So which is a step forward for sure, from no consideration whatsoever. Like, I don't want to be too brutal, but for me, when I was trying to think of like, well, how do we fix this problem, for me, a lot of research is done into circular concepts, but the one that's always existed is this idea of natural circularity. You know, if the materials you're using come from nature and you haven't made their structures more complex so they can be accepted back into nature at end of life, and then, you know, help promote the next phase of plant growth, that is a circular model.
Is any of the bigger brands, I mean, I don't want you to, I guess you can name them if you like, but I'm just thinking, you're doing this on a small scale, like a micro scale now with Purified, but are you looking at any of the big brands, you know, your marquee brands that are doing anything towards this or thinking about this?
I think it's very difficult for them, because to do what we've done, you as a like an existing large scale brand, you would have to rip up your, and to do it properly, to completely change how you've done it, you would have to rip up your entire infrastructure and start again. I think there are big brands that have maybe come up with smaller, like they're trialing it, they're coming up with concepts that are maybe slightly similar, but in reality, I mean, it depends what your attitude is. You could say, you know, they're trialing it so that they're going to implement it one day. For me, I feel it's more down the route of it's marketing for them, and they want to be a part of it, but they don't necessarily want to do it, because they know that to actually do it at scale, it's going to be a loss-making thing for them, at least for quite some time. So
It just feels like
what I would say is, you know, one of my key influences inspirations was actually Nike had a range of a category of shoes called Nike Considered in the 90s. And some of the ideas there were just so ahead of its time. You had like woven shoe uppers using straw. You had modular designs that could be disassembled. They didn't use glue. And, you know, even before I started Purified, that aspect of design has always been like a real sort of North Star for me. So, you know, like the ideas are somewhat there. It's just in terms of implementing them at scale that I'm not seeing it.
Interesting. You know what else Nike did? The mags.
Yes.
Back to the Future. Self-lacing trainers. Where were they? Hey.
They what was it? It was we actually met the date there in the future and they released them again.
I think they did like a small run of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are really cool. I don't have a pair, but I managed to pick up a pair once in a shop somewhere, and they are really cool.
And how far are we down the line for Purified getting something like that on the go? Well, you've got to reach for the stars, right? Yeah. Well, listen, Will, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time, but also really dig the brand, the effort, the energy you're putting towards making something very different, not out there currently. Or, you know, a lot of people need to lean into this sort of stuff, especially with footwear, because how many people actually get to hand-me-down footwear? Because, like, you can hand me down maybe a coat or a t-shirt or something like that, but I, you know, and I'm guilty of all this, trainers just really go to the bin or to the landfill, like we all know. And so how many of these are actually happening? And you're trying to do something about that, which I commend, sir. Purified.eco, the place to go. We'll put all the links over on the show notes. And where can people get hold of you, Will?
Yeah, so you just contact us through the website, purified.eco. It's probably the best way to go.
Alrighty, and drop him a note there. And check out the shoes. In the meantime, speak to you soon, Will. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.